was Danu from their brand new album 10,000 Miles, giving us the Foggy Dew. Will Pound gave us the Liberty Bell March from Through the Seasons. Yes, that's a march composed by John Philip Sousa that became the theme song for Monty Python. And before that, we heard the Tannehill Weavers giving us the Ghost of Mick McDonnell from Auroch. It is now 7 o'clock in the morning, and since I have successfully steered away from the CD player that managed to eat CDs, at least for the time being, we'll hope that we can hear Anonymous 4. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. This is Between the Worlds, the best of Earth Religions Radio. So that was Anonymous Four with Oh Maria Stella Maris, or Mary Star of the Sea from the Lammas Lady Mass. And I see that I forgot to put this into Spinatron, but it's easy enough to rectify. And what about this CD? Well, it was part of a series that Anonymous 4 did, and I believe they originally got the idea because so much of the music that has come down to us is anonymous. Composers didn't start writing their names on things, it seems like, till nearly the 16th century. For this particular recording, it was Ruth Cunningham, Marcia Janinski, Susan Hellauer, and Johanna Maria Rose. And that was probably the longest sequence there, and it seems only appropriate because this is the week for the Feast of the Assumption of the Virgin, which simply means that she was bodily taken into heaven, a date is celebrated on the 15th of the month. And in just a minute, we'll have the calendrical information. But first, we'll hear something more from this. This is another sequence, but rather short.
Oh.
Good morning. It's 7:14. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. As I promised, we have finally got our things in Spinatron from the Lammas Lady Mass. This was an album that came out from Anonymous 4 in 1998. And I can do no higher praise than to suggest that you seek out Anonymous 4's recordings. They're excellent. Our calendrical information, as is usual, brought to you by the Perpetual Almanac of Folklore by Charles Keightley. August the 13th, the Feast of St. Cassian, a severe Christian schoolmaster disliked by his pagan pupils, who stabbed him to death with iron pen nibs. He is the patron saint of school teachers. August the 14th, the flowers of harvest time, harvest bells, harvest daisies, and harvest lilies, all now in bloom. Harvest bells are better known as harebells or the bluebells of Scotland, the flower of the magical hair, also called fairy caps and fairy rangers, has supernatural protectors, so it is very unlucky to pick it. More useful, especially for short-breathed or ever-thirsty harvesters, is the harvest daisy, alias a dog daisy. The whole herb, stalks, flowers, and leaves, boiled in a posset drink, is accounted an excellent remedy for an asthma consumption and difficulty of breathing. A decoction of the herb cures all diseases that are occasioned by excessive drinking of cold beer when the body is hot. And this is from John Peachey's The Complete Herbal of Physical Plants of 1694. Herbalists spoke disparagingly of the harvest lily, the common hedge bindweed, but harvesters' children amused themselves by putting its flimsy white bells over their noses and breathing in to keep them there. What's interesting is that I read about this in a folklore piece that came out in the late 60s as still being a common practice in the Midwest of the United States. August the 15th, the Feast of the Assumption, or death and bodily entrance into heaven of the Virgin Mary, called in Scotland Great St. Mary's Feast and Harvest. To make the Molan Mór, or Mary's Bannock, traditional on this day, you need to pluck ears of new corn, dry them in the sun, husk them by hand, grind them with stones, knead the flour on a sheepskin, make it into a cake, and toast this by a fire of magical rowan wood. A piece of the bannock must be eaten by each member of the family in order of age, and all must then walk sunwise round the fire. Finally, gather the embers into a pot and carry this sunwise round the farm and fields. And the Carmina Gadelica preserves this information, including the charm. I went sunways round my dwelling in the name of Mother Mary, who promised to preserve me, who did protect me, who will preserve me in peace and flocks, in righteousness of heart. August the 16th is St. Roch's Day. Take precaution against contagious diseases. St. Roch was a selfless 14th century plague doctor, is invoked against all infectious diseases. His feast day falls at the height of the most dangerous season for epidemics. Markham's English Husbandman of 1635 notes, "For the pestilence, take of sage, yarrow, tansy, and feverfew of each a handful, and bruise them well together, then let the sick party make water in the herbs, then strain them, and give it to the sick to drink." Note that this was long before people understood the infectious vectors of the various plagues, and also of a strange sort of thing called a sleeping sickness, which no one has ever been able to satisfactorily track, but was apparently much abroad in Tudor times in England. And John Aubrey's Observations, circa 1685, notes, "It is observed at plague times that the opening of the south windows brings the sickness, and shutting of the southern windows and opening the northern cures it. 'Tis said that drawing in the heat of the fire with one's breath doth much good to him that has the plague." August the 17th, time to gather garden seeds. Fear rain now to lay unharvested corn. August the 18th is St. Helena's Day. Employ house leek against lightning and birds. St. Helena, historically the formidable mother of the Empress Constantine, is invoked against fire, tempest, and lightning. August the 19th, weigh suspected witches against the Bible, mice now breeding apace. How long do you suppose this custom went on? Well, this is from the Gentleman's Magazine of 1759. In August 1759, one Susanna Haynokes, an elderly woman of Wingrave near Aylesbury, Buckinghamshire, was accused by her neighbors for bewitching her spinning wheel so that she could not make it go round, and offered to make oath of it before a magistrate, on which Susanna's husband, in order to justify his wife, insisted on her being tried by the church Bible and that the accuser be present. Accordingly, she was conducted to the church, where she was stripped of all her clothes to her shift and undercoat and weighed against the Bible, when to the no small mortification of her accuser, she outweighed it and was honorably acquitted of the charge. What about this about mice now breeding and apace? Edward Topsell's History of Four-Footed Beasts of 1607 notes, "A female mouse having free liberty to litter Within less than half a year, she hath brought forth 120 young ones. Well, if you got rid of your cats because of the plague and you figured out that they carried the fleas, yes, mice will certainly breed apace.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Hey, Ned, can you lift this box for me?
Oh, sure, Sandy.
Thank you.
Are your joints trying to tell you something?
Hey, Ned, how about tossing me that pencil?
No problem.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
The fact is, for healthy bones, joints, and muscles, weekend exercise just isn't enough. You should exercise a total of 30 minutes every day.
Hello. Oh, sure, Tim. I'll walk right over.
Try jogging or going for quick walks or taking the stairs instead of the elevator.
Be right there, Tim.
For more ideas on building a healthier body, call 1-800-824-BONES or visit aaos.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. We keep you well connected.
Bye-bye, Ned.
Oh, bye, Sandy.
Study war no more.
heaven bound, down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Oh no, until they lay me down, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Ain't gonna study war.
That's laughter that bubbles within. past. He just hates. He just turned carefully. He just passed. I just hates. He just turned carefully.
Me alone without a drink from the horn. I peered at the world below. I seized the runes. Shrieking, I seized the runes. Then I fell back. From Balthor's famous son, Bestla's father, I learned 999999999999 powerful songs. I was able to drain the precious mead from the cauldron of Ardraria. And then I began to thrive. My wisdom grew. I prospered and I was fruitful. One word gained me many deeds. The charms I know are not known by the wives of kings and not by any man. The charms I know are not known by the wives of kings and not by any man. The first charm is called help, because it can comfort grief and lessen pain and cure sickness. And I know a second. Any man who hopes to become a healer needs to know it. And I know a third. If I should sorely need help to hold back mine enemy, I can blunt my opponent's blade and soften his staff so he cannot wound me. And I know a fourth. If anyone should bind me hand and foot, this charm is so great that the locks spring apart, releasing my limbs and I can walk free. I know a fifth. If I should see a well-aimed arrow speeding to its mark, I can catch it however fast it flies. I only have to fix it with mine eye. I know a six. If anyone thinks to finish me off by sending a sapling's root engraved with runes, that hero, full of spleen, will only destroy himself. I know a seventh. If I should see the hall roof burst into flames over the heads of my chosen comrades, I can quench the blaze however fierce it may be. I know the charm. I know the charm. I know the charm. I know the charm. And I know a well-weighed eighth. All men should be well advised to learn it. If hatred takes root in men's mind, I can uproot it. I know a ninth. If I should need to save my ship in a storm, I can calm the wind that whips off wave crests. Yes, I can put the sea to sleep. I know a tenth. If ever I see witches flying on rafters, I can sing so they go into a whirl and cannot change back into their day shapes or find their ways to their own front doors. I know an eleventh. If I have to lead loyal, long-loved friends into a fight, I can sing behind my shield and they will go from strength to strength. Yes, unscathed to the battle, and unscathed after the battle, unscathed they return home. I know a twelfth. If I see a hanging man swinging from a tree with his heels above his head, I can cut and color the runes so that he will come down and talk to me. And I know a thirteenth. If I spring water over a child, he will never fall in the thick of battle, nor falter and sink in the sword play. I know a fourteenth. If I so desire, I can tell men the names of the gods and the elves one by one. Few fools can do this. Few fools can do this. I know a 15th. The dwarf Theodora sang it in front of Delling's doors, number 93. A charm of power for the gods, glory for the elves, wisdom for Odin. A charm of power for the gods, glory for the elves, wisdom of Odin. A charm of power for the gods, glory for the elves, wisdom for Odin. A charm of power for the gods, glory for the elves, wisdom for Odin. A charm of power for the gods, glory for the elves, wisdom for Odin. A charm of power for the gods, glory for the elves, wisdom for Odin. Sweet 16th, if I long for loving, yes, I can turn the mind and win the heart of a white-armed woman. I know a 17th, oh, such a charm that a young girl will be loath to forsake me. And I know an 18th and final charm. I will never ever tell it to a girl or to a married woman unless I am lying in her arms or she is my own sister. For what you know and you alone know is always the most potent. For what you know and you alone know is always the most potent. What you know and you alone know is always the most potent. These were the words of Odin before there were men. Yes, and these were his words after his death when he rose again. These were the words of Odin before there were men. Yes, and these were his words after his death when he rose again. These were the words of Odin before there were men. Yes, and these were his words after his death when he rose again. When he rose again. When he rose again. Again.
And that was Julian Cope, the Archdruid, delivering the 18 charms of Odin, taken from the Norse myth, The Lord of the Gallows. And this version was adapted by Julian Cope from the translation by Kevin Crossley Holland. And this was from a program Julian gave at the British Museum, part of their Illuminating World Cultures from October 4th and 5th of 2001. Before that was Lorena McKennett with Ages Past, Ages Hence from Lost Souls. And prior to that, we heard Eliza Gilkison from her new album Secularia with Down by the Riverside. Julian's is by a way of letting you know that we will be discussing two books that have come out the past year that I heartily recommend to listeners of Between the Worlds. The first is by Diana Paxton and is all about discovering Odin. And the second is by someone who needs no introduction to the greater pagan community, but is her latest book, Earthrights. And both of those will be discussed next week. In the meantime, we are going out of here with a couple of Tom Russell pieces.
I was going through Alberta one day and I saw a sign for a cowboy museum. And I went in there and looked inside this case. There were these beautiful hand-braided horsehair halters and bridles. And I looked at the inscription. It said, "Braided by Mexican horse thieves, Montana State Pen, 1910. Well, that sounds like a Tom Russell song. Another commercial hit. Two men rode in from the south, a rainy autumn night, the sky above and the mud below. They walked into the deacon's bar, they were Mexican by sight, the sky above and the mud below. They threw a horsehair bridle down, we trade this for whiskey rounds. The deacon slams a bottle down, the two men start to drink it. Their hair was long and black, tied up behind their ears, the sky above and the mud below. Their faces were identical, like one man beside a mirror, the sky above and the mud below. Then someone whispers, "That beats all." Their wanted posters on the wall, twin brothers' name a Sandoval, horse thieves from Boquias. Now the bridle and the belts they wore, braided gray and black, the sky above and the mud below. The color of her own horse once belonged to Deegan, black, the sky above and the mud below. The fastest horse for miles around, he'd been stolen from the old fairground a month ago outside of town. We tracked and never found him. Now the deacon was a preacher who'd fallen hard from grace, the sky above and the mud below. He owned a bar and a string of quarter horses that he'd race the sky above and the mud below. Yet Deacon, he could drink and curse, though he still quoted sacred verse. He was sheriff, judge, he owned the hearse, a man you did not anger. The sky above, the mud below, the wind and rain, the sleet and snow. Two horse thieves from Mexico, drinking hard and singing. One brother, he spoke English, Deacon choirs us to their work, the sky above and the mud below. The man says, Mister, we braid horsehair, bridles, ropes, and quirts, the sky above and the mud below. Yeah, that fine bridle we did make, a lone horse killed by a leg bone break. He's horsehair rope, now horse meat steak. We cleaned him to the bone. Well, these gentlemen, they were ignorant or didn't know just where they were, the sky above and the mud below. The deacon's face grew darker as he measured every word, the sky above and the mud below. You horsehair braiding sons of bitches stole my claimed earthly riches. Someone go and dig a ditch, there may well be a hanging. One brother reached inside his shirt, a searching for his gun, the sky above and the mud below. Too late for Deke had whipped around his sawed-off Remington, the sky above and the mud below. The twins, they raised their hands and sneered. Deke was grinning ear to ear. He says, court's in session, hear ye, hear, yours truly is presiding. Well, the trial commenced and ended quick. They didn't have a hope, the sky above and the mud below. Deke says, we'll cut your hair now, boys, and you can braid yourselves a rope, the sky above and the mud below. The Old Testament, it says somewhere, eye for eye and hair for hair, covet not thy neighbor's mare. I believe it's Revelations. Now the fancy horsehair bridle, it hangs on Deacon's wall, the sky above and the mud below. Next to that wanted poster of the brothers Sandoval, the sky above and the mud below. And the twisted rope so shiny black, the artifact that broke their necks, their craftsmanship he did respect, they should have stuck to braid. Sky above, the mud below, the wind and rain, the sleet and snow, the deacon's hearse is rolling slow in the first blue light of morning.
It's 7:56. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. That was Tom Russell with The Sky Above, The Mud Below from Veterans Day. And we're going out of here with Tom's song, Who's Gonna Build Your Wall, also on Veterans Day. It's probably important to note that this album was released in 2008. But its message is the same.
Who's gonna build your wall? I got 800 miles of open border right outside my door. There's Minutemen and little pickup trucks who've declared their own dang war. Now the government wants to build a barrier like old Berlin, 8 feet tall. But if Uncle Sam sends the illegals home, who's gonna build the wall? Who's gonna build your wall, boy? Who's gonna mow your lawn? Who's gonna cook your Mexican food when your Mexican maid is gone? Who's gonna wax the floors tonight down at the local mall? Who's gonna wash your baby's face? Who's gonna build your politics, so don't lay that rap on me. Left wing, right wing, up wing, down the, I see strip malls from sea to shining sea. It's the fat cat white developer who's created this whole damn squall. It's a pyramid scheme of dirty jobs, and who's gonna build your wall? Who's gonna build your wall, boy? Muslims, we got fundamentalist Jews, we got fundamentalist Christians, they'll blow the whole thing up for you. But as I travel around this big old world, there's one thing that I most fear. It's a white man in a golf shirt with a cell phone in his ear.